Okay. Let's do prayer requests while we're continuing to enjoy folks setting up the AV system. Thank you, Jan. Okay. Thanks, Wes. Did y'all hear what Wes said? To keep Patsy's family in our prayers, as Patsy's aunt, her dad's sister, passed away one month, and today is her birthday, and so. To be in prayer for the family as they grieve. Other prayer requests?
Philip is currently flying to Dominican Republic.
All right. That's great. Philip is. Philip's company, Wayne's Environmental Services, partners with an organization in the Dominican Republic to do things. And so Philip is going to the Dominican Republic to do things.
Yes. They started an orphanage, now they just upkeep it.
Okay. Check it. You got to check it.
Yeah. They would prefer for you to check it.
The long and the short of it is they took Kim's apart while I sit there and watched, wondering if she was going to be getting on the plane.
Yeah.
I like that you weren't wondering if you were going to get on the plane. Language matters, right?
Well, the other side of that story is she didn't have a driver's license.
Oh,
so.
Goodness.
What if I'm stuck in the terminal for days without my luggage?
Okay. All right, so pray for Philip as he is in the Dominican Republic. Others?
My co-worker's son-in-law was diagnosed in the summer with mysterious cancer that's in the abdomen.
This is his co-worker's son, in-law. That's good. Was it too bright over there?
Yeah.
You could stand right here.
I know.
If you wanted to. Get your vitamin D, like, right there. Okay, let's pray. God, we lift up the Nichols family and particularly the family of Patsy's aunt, Patsy today, as grief takes on its ever-evolving shape. We pray for Philip as he goes. We're thankful he was able to get on the plane with his machine. And pray that it would be an impactful trip for those impacted by the orphanage, but also for Philip, that you would reveal yourself to him. God, I pray for Alan's co-worker's son-in-law. We are sometimes dumbfounded by the way in which you work, and yet we pray that you would give us eyes to see, that we might see you moving in ways that are unexpected. God, as we continue to enter this season where people struggle and yet are overjoyed and are also saddened, may you bind us together as a community of faith. May you help us to love one another well as we bear witness to the world. It's in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit we pray. Amen. Calvin's got a few extra handouts if you did not get one. Did you text him?
I did. He didn't respond. Oh, okay.
I need one. Maybe. Hey, did you...
They're still pretty.
Do you remember we have communion today?
I did not, but I will get it fixed up.
We put the table up on Wednesday. I just... Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gunn. All right. So, I had somebody say earlier that they did not feel like we spent quite enough time with the fives last week, that we spent too much time with the fours, and the fours are much more dramatic than the fives, so that makes sense that we would spend more time with them. But what I would like to do is go ahead and go in six and seven today. If we have time at the end, we'll back up to five, and if we don't, then I've tried to structure this in a way where we will finish all the numbers next week, which should leave us a week or two to talk about questions you may have, to fill in blanks that we may have overlooked, to talk about the movement from these numbers to health and to disease, dishealth, and we'll try to cover that. And what we may find is when we get through with this Enneagram study, for some of you this is your second time, for some of us this is like our 15th time. And yet there's always something new, and so you may find yourself at the end wanting to do something deeper, and we could either do another class later about it, we could break it out and do just headspace, we could just do five, sixes, and sevens, we could do just one, twos, I mean, eights, nines, and ones, or we could do just twos, threes, and fours for a few weeks to try to go a little more in depth for anybody who wants to do that. You just have to let somebody know, your representatives. And call your representatives, let them know. So, any questions before we move on to sixes and sevens today? As usual, feel free to interrupt with questions, should you have them, or comments or thoughts. We are going to stay in the headspace. We entered the headspace last week with the fives. This week we are entering the center locus of the headspace. If you've noticed, in one of the earlier diagrams, we talked about you have these kind of central... So heart spaces are twos, threes, and fours, okay? The three is the deepest heart space. So that's the most heart space. The five, six, and seven are headspace. The six is the strongest headspace. The eight, nine, and one are the heart, the gut space, and the nine is the strong. All that is to say, those are the points of the triangle where we find ourselves. Sixes are very much live inside their head. They're very analytical. They are very organized in terms of the process by which they think. They love structure. Some who are practitioners of the Enneagram would suggest, and I'm not sure they're wrong, that about 50% of the world are sixes. Okay? If you remember when we started talking about the Enneagram, we said there are 9 types and everybody's a type and there's no 10th and there's no 0 and all blah, blah, blah. We said those 9 types are based on the 8 cardinal sins, of which we call them the 7 deadlies, but there were originally 8 central vices. The vice that is not named in those 8 vices that has a representation on the Enneagram is the vice of fear. And when Evagrius of Pontus and Clement, early church fathers, started listing out kind of these large categories of the 7 and 8 deadly vices, they did not write about fear, because fear is so prevalent that it is easy to overlook it. Fear is a prevalent human emotion. And yet we can categorize fear as a sin for the believer, because we are told constantly, do not be afraid. Fear is not of God, etc., etc. Fear is the mind killer if you're into Game of Thrones. That's also okay. It doesn't matter. Fear is the mind killer if you're into Dune. It's been a long time since I've read Mr. Herbert. Herbe, back to the French. Okay, 6s are a fear-based number. As children, they were often particularly anxious, always worried about what might happen to them. I want to be very clear about something with 6s, though, okay? In a minute, we're going to talk about 2 ways 6s manifest, so you really need to hold in mind that 6s have a dual presentation, okay? But as children, they could have been very anxious, very worried, hyper aware of something that might happen to them. I have a friend growing up who, even as a kid, he was nervous, man. All the time, this kid was nervous. And when he graduated college, he went to work for the NSA. It was a perfect job for him as a 6. Yes, he was a spook. He went and did things he couldn't tell you about, and he loved it because it helped him to control his fear. They are very anxious people. They had one of two parents, probably. They either had a helicopter parent who was so overprotective and always protecting, you know, they wrapped their child in bubble wrap, basically, to send them out the door. Or they had a very unpredictable parent. A parent who was cold, who might lash out at them for no apparent reason, fly off the handle with no good reason. And so they develop, even as a child, this very heightened sense of they must protect themselves because the one who is supposed to protect them doesn't do it. Often 6s can be identified as children because they have test anxiety, performance anxiety. They are smart. They are well prepared. They do great right up to the event. And then everything shuts down because they might fail. 6s, even as children, love authority. Love authority, particularly found in books and institutions. Because authority in a single person is often far more fallible than authority in an institution. Okay? So I want you to think of institutions that have clear hierarchy. 6s really love hierarchy. They love to know who's in charge, so you can follow the rules, or who will protect you. Because the root desire for 6s is to be secure. Any questions so far? As we follow 6s into adulthood, they are, in their unredeemed state, often overcome by self-doubt. The world is a scary place, and they might just not make it. 6s are driven by their fear. They are cautious or negative to anything that is not like them. You know early scenes in Forrest Gump, where the kids are getting on the bus, and the whole, like, seats taken scene in Forrest Gump? Do you know this scene? Forrest Gump with his, he's a weird kid, man, let's be honest. He's like, he's atypical. He's trying to get on the bus. And they're like, seats taken. Seats taken. That's every line. That is a typical six. They could just be little mean kids. That's a possibility. Kids are kind of mean. But kids are being honest about what many of us try to mask with civility. That they don't like things that are not like them. And they can intuit that he is not like them. So their xenophobia does not wear the mask ours often does. They don't like something that is foreign to them. And that's where sixes are. Their head reaction, they'll rationalize it, they're great at it. Their head reaction is, that thing is different and it could hurt me and it's probably wrong. And that's how it goes. Do you see why some people suggest that half the world is sixes? Because it's so easy for us to be against things. One of the interesting things about sixes is even though they love hierarchy and they love security, and security often comes with promotion and structure and rank and file, there is a strong military bias towards sixes. They love that. Man. I mean, like, this makes sense. This is the world ordered as it should be. But even within that system, they often do not enjoy praise because they think that you are trying to trick them. See it as manipulative. Let me talk about some good things about sixes. I had a friend growing up, a different friend. We were fraternity brothers together, and I was his pledge. He was a pledge under me, and in my fraternity, we had these. When you were a pledge, you had a book of matches, and you had to keep that book of matches to get into the fraternity throughout the year. And every time you did something, I'm not saying this was the right way to do it. I'm just telling you how it was. Every time you did something that upset one of the people who you were, who was above you, they could take a book of match. They could take a match and light it and burn it, and you could never have that match back. Randy's a piece of work, man. I love Randy. I was in a mood, and I was telling him to do something. He's older than I am, but he came in under me. And I was like, you need to do this thing. You got to take care of this. And he was like, no. And he, kept talking back to me. So I took his whole match, and I burned it. I took the whole book, and I just burned the whole thing. I lit one and lit the rest of the book on fire and threw it on the ground. I felt so cool until I felt horrible, but that's a separate story. I was like, if only the camera phone had been invented and we could have filmed this. So Randy and I were at odds for a long time. Randy is a six, man. Randy, he every time he wanted, I can't tell you too many Randy stories. They're just too long. We could have a whole Sunday school about Randy stories. Get this, Randy's a hard six, okay? And when Randy became my friend, after all this, there comes a point to the story where we actually became friends. We ended up doing a lot of stuff together, spent a lot of time together. There is no one more loyal than Randy. I could be totally in the wrong, and he would defend me to the death. Sixes are the most loyal people. And that's good and bad, depending on where you put your loyalty, right? But it is an amazing characteristic. So let's talk about the two ways that sixes, as adults and as children, manifest their fear. There are two types. There's phobic and contraphobic. So phobic sixes are afraid, and they are just so scared they kind of just shut down. Right? They just can't deal with the scary world. They close down. Contraphobic sixes become aggressive. When they are cornered, when they are afraid, they lash out. They can be very dangerous and damaging to themselves and others. Here is the great thing about the human condition. Both of these types of responses can be present in the same person. And you know them. Sometimes You're meek and afraid until you get pushed too far. And then all bets are off. Which is why it is difficult sometimes to identify sixes and for sixes to identify themselves. Because when you talk about fear, they're like, I'm not afraid. I'm not a six. But they're not afraid because they've spent their whole life running right into their fear. Running into your fear is not the same thing as not being afraid. Those are different things. So, I am not particularly afraid of heights. I do not go skydiving. Okay. Not particularly because I'm afraid of it. More like it seems like a, why would you jump out of a perfectly good airplane, right? Okay. Someone who is deathly afraid of it, fear therapy. There's another term for it, but where you face your fears. Face your fears. Hey. Whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger until it kills you. That's true. You get to be right about that all the time until the last time. Yeah, I mean, they're extreme athletes, people who are afraid of stuff and still go do it, right? That's jumping into your fear, literally, in the case of skydiving. Sixes are often conservative, and I don't mean that politically, okay? I mean they don't like new ideas. And I want you to see the difference. We're all in the headspace here. Fives love new ideas for the sake of the idea itself. They don't really care about the idea. I mean, they don't have an emotional investment, but they collect ideas. And so they're not afraid of new ideas because that new idea is a novelty. Sevens are the same way. Sevens crave new experiences. And so newness for a seven is, I mean, they need it. They feed on it. So when I say conservative, I don't mean political. I mean that in this headspace, sixes are the ones who are like, we have not done it that way before. And we have come up, and it's not their gut telling them that. It's that we have thought through this, and this is a perfectly good way to do this. The bureaucracy is not bad. The bureaucracy is in place because it works. That's why we have the bureaucracy, to make things that stupid. That's why we have the bureaucracy, to make sure that stupid new ideas don't get passed. Bureaucracy is our savior. We love it. You kind of get the picture of sixes? Their gut reaction is fear. Whether it's manifested in aggression or in being scared. And let's be awesome. Let's be awesome, okay? That's not a bad thing to be, awesome. Let's be honest. There are things to be afraid of in the world, right? I mean, sixes have a great logical point. And it's very hard to talk a six out of being afraid because, first of all, they love anecdotal evidence. This thing happened this one time, so it could happen to me. Fair enough, it could. I don't like swimming around sharks. I could get bitten by one. Statistically, highly unlikely. But it could happen. Because I've seen it happen to people on the news and in Steven Spielberg films, and so I know that it could happen. Sixes, do what? You're not lunch until you are. Just when you, and sharks are crafty. Just when you thought it was safe to go back to the beach, that's when they strike. So here's the thing. Sixes have some great gifts because they are right. Jesus says, you need to be as gentle as a serpent and as wise as a dove. And I believe in the community.
Okay. Hey, we're paying attention.
First time.
Not enough coffee.
You were really talking about after you get to heaven, right?
Jesus said, You need to be as gentle as a dove and wise. I always say Jesus said some wacky things. That would be super wacky. Jesus said, you need to be as gentle as a dove and as wise as a serpent. Now, one of the things that I strongly believe about in the Enneagram is that the reason I think there are nine types is that this is what the body of Christ looks like. We ought to all be represented in it. And sixes are the ones who often help us be as wise as a serpent. It takes all of us. And so while you may be embarrassed by your number or disagree with it or get upset about it, you have a place here. And sixes, I mean, nobody wants to talk about being afraid, but the reason we have developed as a species is our fight or flight mechanism. So there is some value to measured fear. I do. I think the nine types are the representation of the Spirit of God in us in different facets. We reflect God in different ways. So the temptation for sixes is this exaggerated and constant striving for security. You will be safe as long as you hate the right group of people. You will be safe as long as you put in the right security system. You will be safe as long as you know jujitsu or whatever. You will be safe. None of those things are, taken in the right context, are inherently stupid things to do. There are some good things to do with that. But when you come to it from a place of fear as a six, when you are driven by it, it's not healthy. And because of that, the defense mechanism for sixes is projection. So, I anticipate the worst from you. I'll pick on Gary. If I was a six, or when I'm in a six space, I anticipate the worst from Gary. And so because I am anticipating the worst from Gary, what I am projecting is that Gary is actually the worst. Gary says mean things and he hurts people. Gary has done none of that. But I don't know Gary, and I'm afraid. So in order to validate and rationalize my fear, I'm going to project that on to Gary. He is one bad man. Like a flamethrower. I don't know why. I'm still back on the matches. Because sixes love structure, and because sixes love order and safety and security, sixes avoid inappropriate behavior like the plague. Okay? No one must step out of line. Everyone must do the right thing. I just switched accents like 10 times in that. I went all through Eastern Europe, all over that. Which brings us, well, we'll get to it in a second. Sixes have the root fear of sin, the root sin of fear. It is based in a lack of trust. Ultimately, if we confess and believe that God is God and God is good and God is guiding and working for the good, doesn't mean it's always pleasant, but working for the good for those who call on God's name, then what do we have to be afraid of? But sixes value systems over relationship. And so that trusting relationship is hard for them, and so they're afraid, and that's this primal anxiety. Because there are two manifestations of sixes, they fall into two categories. There's the phobic six. Their pitfall is cowardice. Tuck, tail, and run. And the pitfall for the counterphobic six is foolish risk-taking or aggression. But the best thing about sixes who are redeemed and moving towards redemption is they are the most courageous people you will ever meet, because they have spent their whole life living with their fear. They have made friends with it. They are not running towards it. They have a healthy relationship with it. It's their best buddy. It's been around forever. And so they are able, in moments of crisis, to show courage much more readily than the rest of us. They're ready to go. Neville. you're familiar with Harry Potter, Neville Longbottom is a great six. So for sixes to move towards redemption, they have to embrace their courage, and they have to struggle against mistrust and fear. It begins with a deeper trusting relationship with God. And I think it really helps sixes to spend time with people who are different than them. To force themselves to go do stuff with folks who are not like them. Super uncomfortable. Also very good for them. The animal for the sixes is either the deer or the rabbit, always cautious. You only take a few bites of food, and then you have to look up to see who's around you. Or the wolf, who takes comfort in the pack. They're not lone wolves, they're pack animals, and corners and lashes out. The nation for sixes is Germany. It is efficient, well-ordered. Achtung, danger, warning. Watch out. The color for sixes is beige brown. You can take that as like the bark of a tree protecting itself. Some examples of sixes, and there are numerous ones I did not list. Twain was probably a six. If you think about his concerns and his humor and the way he is guiding himself, he's probably a six. Freud, definitely a six. J. Edgar Hoover, if you've ever been to the FBI museum, there's very little doubt that man was a six, okay? Tom Hanks, probably a six. I think the rationale for that is, I don't know. I have a hard time. Let me talk about the last two. Rush Limbaugh and Larry David, okay? Rush Limbaugh and people like Rush Limbaugh, I'm not saying you agree with them or not, but the way they make their money is by being an ideologue, okay? They make their money by saying things for you to agree with that already reinforce the things you fear. Larry David does the same thing. He does it through comedy. He's one of the creators of Seinfeld, and he has a show called Curb Your Enthusiasm. He is a neurotic, fearful man. He just comes at it from the left. Points out idiosyncrasies. Sixes really need to learn to laugh at themselves. Another great Harry Potter reference is when they have the Bogarts, which is when what they're afraid of comes out of this cabinet, okay? Yes, they're wizards. So there's a thing they're afraid of. It comes out of a cabinet. And the way to defeat it is to laugh at it and to change it into something ridiculous. That is a way to change our fears, is to realize the ridiculousness of them. The invitation for sixes is always to deeper faith, a non-dogmatic set of rules, but a relationship with God, and to be careful. Careful, 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 like all of us should be, of which external forces control us. Or as Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon, but you're going to serve somebody. That second part may have been Bob Dylan, but it's all kind of there together. Let's talk about sevens. Sevens are enthusiasts. They are enthusiastic about a wide variety of things, but their root need is to avoid pain. Okay? So, often as children, they had a traumatic experience during their development. And out of that, they did two things. They repressed it and whitewashed it. That thing that happened to me is not as bad as everybody makes it out to be. Okay? And they began already in their heads to retreat into their minds and plan great adventures to escape potential future pain. Sevens are interested in everything. Wide variety. They lettered in all the sports. Okay? Or all the UIL. What do we have in Alabama? Do we have UIL? No. In Texas, you have University Interscholastic League, which is like the brain version of sports. I don't know, the academic decathlon kind of thing, right? Scholars Bowl, Olympics of the Mind, whatever. In Texas, it's UIL. You can do, there's one for calculator. It was my favorite. You got to use a calculator. It was like just, anyway. So, but they didn't just do calculator. They were in calculator and extemporaneous speaking, and they're just interested in everything. They just love stuff. They love to go on vacation. They're already planning their next trip right now. They already know what they're going to go do. Sevens are really good at looking on the bright side of life. We might talk about that song. Even as adults, sevens are joyful people. They radiate enthusiasm. They're super exciting. They are curious. They're curious because what they have is never enough. They are always hungry for something more. And I don't mean food, though some of them are very hungry with food. They're Epicureans. But I mean, they're always looking for the next thing that will fulfill their needs. They often, as adults, have had multiple careers, can't tie themselves down to one. They jump around a bit. They are Mary Poppins, full of good cheer. Just take a spoonful of sugar. It will help the medicine go down. But let's not talk about all the toxins that are in the medicine. What's really important is that it tastes good. They can be commitment phobic because they suffer from a fear of missing out of what they might have experienced if they had not committed to your thing. They are often in jobs that make them travel frequently. Pilots, truckers, salespeople who have massive territories. They often do not know how not to smile. They grin a lot. And some of you who are not sevens, you look at it and you distrust it because nobody could be that happy all the time. And that's their curse. In being so positive, they often lose sight of reality. They have very little relationship with real reality. They've lost that connection. They are the people who are always invited to your party and only show up every once in a while. But they're so great that when they show up, you keep inviting them. The problem is sevens are idealists, okay? They believe that there is some great thing that is better than what is going on right now, because what is going on right now, even if it's their subconscious working, has the potential to be tinged with pain and darkness, because it is reality. What is happening right now is real. And no matter how great it is, when you live in reality, you realize that it is shadows and light. It is a complex thing. And so sevens don't want to deal with that. So they're already on to the next thing, because that next ideal will be better than whatever this is. Because they seek joy in such abandon, they can rationalize their own hedonistic lifestyles very well. That's their defense mechanism. For example, if you were a seven in a first world country who spent a lot of money traveling and you really loved to travel and you were into that, and you got some sort of somebody saying to you, hey, you could spend some of that money going to a mission trip, or you could spend some of that money giving to some people who are impoverished, sevens would say something like, have you ever been to a really impoverished country? Those people are already happier than we are anyway. They don't need our resources. Have you seen how happy they are? Rationalizing their own need to keep what they have so that they can find the next super joyful thing. Sevens will avoid pain at all costs. Sevens, nines as well, conflict avoiders. Don't want to deal with the pain of relationships. Don't want to deal with that. Which means they miss out on some of the depth of life. Sevens do not want to hear about your emotional problems. They don't want to deal with their own. They certainly don't want to deal with yours. The root sin for sevens is gluttony. Their motto is, more is always better. And I don't mean just with food. if one vacation was good, two ought to be better. I have some seven impulses I recognize sometimes. As a kid, I would sit down and there was a piece of pie or something I particularly liked. I would be like two bites into the first piece, hadn't even, not halfway done, and been like, I'm definitely going to need another piece of this. The pitfall for sevens is distraction. They're so busy looking for the next great adventure, so busy looking for the next thing that will fill this void in their lives, that they miss out on the reality of what's going on. They miss out on God in the present moment. They miss out on the depth of their relationship with God, because they're always looking for the next thing. But the fruit of the Spirit of sevens is joy. They are, when they, particularly when they're moving towards redemption and they can sit and they can live in the fullness of reality with joy and shadow, with light and darkness, they are ones who, if you ever hear anybody talk about the difference between happiness and joy, happiness is this temporary feeling and joy is this deep-seated thing. That's, those are sevens who get it, right? Sevens who experience that at the root of the universe, there is something good going on. So, symbols of seven, even though on your slide it says five, I meant seven. The animals for the seven are the monkey or the butterfly. They just want to play and have fun, be that weird animal in the zoo who throws stuff that you have to, like, call your friends and, hey, man, did you see what that monkey threw at the zoo today? Butterflies are beautiful. They're flighty. They move on from thing to thing, right? They never land and sit for too long. Because if they do, they might die. For a country, for the kind of stereotypical seven, you can think of Ireland or Brazil. Every fourth house in Ireland is a pub. Right? Think about the Irish wake, right? The Irish wake over the body of the deceased is a party. There's some about that that's not, anyway, Brazil is the same way. I went to grad school with a girl from Brazil. Actually, I performed her wedding. And I have never been around people who like to party as much as the Brazilians. I mean, her and her whole family, man. I mean, like, there was never, it's Mardi Gras every day. Carnival. It's Carnival every day. It's not really, but if you think about it, Brazil has, Rio de Janeiro has the largest dump population in the world. There's like a ton and ton of people living in a dump. But what's Brazil known for? Partying. Because we can avoid the dump if we play the drums loud enough. Sevens are green, vitality, healthy, well. Examples of sevens are Galileo, Mozart, Benjamin Franklin. Think about how much stuff Benjamin Franklin was into. He also wanted the national bird to be the turkey. That man was looking for some joy somewhere, right? We all know it was a mouse, really, who discovered it anyway. Have you ever read Ben and Me, with the little mouse that discovered electricity? It's fascinating. Let's talk about the conversion of sevens. Wow. Let's talk about the invitation. The invitation for sevens is to cooperate with God in the present reality and to stop moving on to the next thing. When I first got into the Enneagram, when I really got into the Enneagram, I thought I was a seven, and this is why. I was not in a good place. I'm a five, and when fives go poorly, we act like schizophrenic sevens. And so I was always waiting for the next best thing, this magic bullet. I didn't want to deal with the present reality. I wanted to move on to the next thing. Now I know that. And so when I feel myself heading in that direction, I'm able to say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Back up. Set still. For sevens, that's what the path is. You got to back up. You got to set still. You got to be present with God. I've left this part off, so there you go. You just have to stay with that one. I don't have the book down here. Anybody got any questions?
This last diagram?
Yes.
I was about to ask you this question. The 7 to the 1?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the 7?
No, hang on a second. I don't want to lie to you, so.
I appreciate that. As a the 7 to the 1 is, how is that related? Is that a healthier version of the 7?
I'm not going to lie to you about it. Just a second. No.
Okay.
I didn't think so. So the difference between a 7 and a 5 is that a 7 moving towards health as a 5
okay.
is not as flighty and not as thirsty. They don't need it as badly, okay? 7s are kind of like junkies, and I resonate as a 7. I mean, when I'm in a bad place, I'm always looking for the next thing that's going to bring me some joy. You know, I talked to you about my spiritual director told me to go home and play video games, and there's some good to that. She told me to go and play video games because that would help me kind of just chill out. But then you can become hooked on that thing, which helps you avoid the pain of the present moment. When sevens are moving healthy, they get more in-depth and they become more detached from the need to escape the pain. When sevens become unhealthy, they need everybody to jump onto the next thing with them. That's the one. Like I said, we will have enough time. When we come back, we'll do next week, we'll do 8 and 9. We'll finish up the circle. And when we come back, we will cover in depth anything you want to talk about. And we will talk about movement of arrows and wings, etc. Wings, yeah. All right, thank you all for being here.